you know, the transcript of the interviews we did before.
Yeah.
And going back 4 years later, that's still pretty interesting stuff. You really had some experiences there. That's a China that isn't around anymore, you know? It's gone now, so
yeah,
it's all
that's
changed. You were there in the 20s, off and on, at the time that there were a lot of attacks on foreigners, you know, in Shanghai and Nanking, Wuhan, became unsafe for lots of foreigners. Did you run into any of that?
Well, I left China in, I went out in 17 on a 4-year contract with a British American, and I left China after my contract had expired.
21, probably.
In 21, came back home in 21. And while here, I got a job with the Tobacco Growers Cooperative Association. And the British American recommended me to both the Universal Leaf and the Philip Morris Company.
Yeah.
So I went back to China in July 1925
uh-huh.
with the Universal Leaf. And that is where I really had a lot of my experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was a hot time, right? 1925. That was right after demonstrations in Shanghai. And
oh, yeah, yeah. We had it kind of rough there in Shanghai. As a matter of fact, I was in the Battle of Suchow Creek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we built a, we built some sandbag all up and down the creek, and we'd stay in there for all night watching. We weren't so afraid of the Japanese,
mm.
but what we were afraid of was that the Chinese would start retreating and retreat through the city of Shanghai. And in retreating, that they'd start looting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everybody was scared of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You weren't too worried about the Chinese killing you then?
No, not especially. Uh-huh. But we had orders to shoot to kill.
Uh-huh. Where'd the orders come from? Shanghai guys?
Yeah. No. No, we were in the what we call the International Settlement right. in Shanghai.
Right.
And we were asked, at least I was asked, personally myself, to raise as many people as I could, you know, to volunteer to just go in that little defend, to defend the settlement.
Yeah. Who asked you, an American official?
No, it was a British official,
uh-huh.
a British general. What is his name? I forgot his name. But anyway, he said, get as many volunteers as you can. And I told him, I said, well, I'll do what I can. Of course, what you wanted was white Americans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I went over to the American Club and put a notice, a little on the bulletin board, calling for volunteers. And then I went out to the edge of Shanghai, out there at the Columbia Country Club. Oh, we had a nice club out there. And called for volunteers. And I got to about 30, I think. They gave me a room there in the municipal building in Shanghai. And they told me to get the Marines to deliver me some rifles. So they brought the rifles around. And they gave me a little form to fill out for each one that each volunteer, his name and address, and number of the rifle, and number of bullets that I'd issued him. And I ended up there about 30, I think it was, between 20 and 30. Well, this old general, what's his name, I can't. That's just slipping one minute, so. He came by and told me, he says, now take these men down there and drill them. That was just inside of the, this municipal building was built and it had kind of a little courtyard in there. And he says, take them down and drill them. I looked at him kind of funny. I said, I can't drill them. I said, I can't, I don't even know the manual. I never had any military training. He says, well, have you got somebody that can drill them? I said, oh yeah, I got a man here can drill them, all right. He come up from the Philippines. And he used to be a sergeant, I think, with the Marines down there in the regular army. I don't know. He's a tobacco man out there with the Tobacco Products Corporation. I said, well, you can drill us. He said, buck private for you. And he put me in there.
You lost your command.
Oh, yeah.
I guess at that time, all the foreigners probably cooperated in Shanghai.
Oh, yes, yeah. They were all close together then. Even the missionaries. Yeah. And the missionaries and the business people got sort of close together anyway.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think, you know, around that period? You know, you're organizing, for example, did you think the Chinese were all being organized by communists, or were they all crazy, or how did everybody think in the white community?
Well, about the time that I left about there, 1935, talking all this communist. And China was, living conditions in China were so bad. In other words, there was no peace, really. One military governor, Tuchin, was fighting another one all the time.
Warlords.
So much poverty. And you couldn't help but just feeling sorry for the people. And communism, or any other type of government, could not have any change, I think, would have been good for the Chinese people, considering the state that they were in. In other words, the communists just had a bonanza to build their government on, to gain influence, and they just had just what they wanted to build on.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, the communist leaders Russia at the time apparently didn't know how to get the exact form of government into the Chinese, called Mao Zedong. He took the whole thing and he changed it to so much that he really has an enemy of the Russians now.
You think the Russians were, like in 1925 in Shanghai, did you think the Russian communists were behind all of that at the time? Did the Americans and the British think that the Russians were behind all of that?
Well, we thought that Russia was, at least I personally did, and I'm satisfied with it. Yes. See, I got these doggone shakes coming on me again.
You mentioned in another interview about you could see the communists coming, you know, by 1945.
That's right.
And, let's see, at that time, were you in Shandong? When were you with the
Shandong? I was in... You see, I stayed in Shanghai about 6 months out of the year. No, maybe about 5 months out of the year. And I spent about 3 months, 3.5 months up in Shantung buying tobacco. And then I would make trips out of Shanghai, selling American tobacco. I'd make trips down Hong Kong, Manila, up in Korea and Manchuria. Selling little cigarette factories, tobacco.
You had lots of compradors to deal with them when you went around. Your company would have compradors, Chinese agents.
Well, yes, well, that's what it would be, little Chinese companies. Yeah. We'd sell some occasionally, big sales we'd make. I made some nice sales to British American tobacco company. They always tried to hit me out of it in the way they could. And our company would take advantage of something like that. If you know these people well, or they know you well, you go and sell them something.
Yeah. Did the you Americans in China, you got on very well with the British usually, you know, in tobacco and outside, like there's a feeling of British and Americans together?
Well, let's say a part of the Americans. You take the, where are you from?
New Jersey.
Where are you from?
North Carolina.
Oklahoma.
No tobacco in Oklahoma.
Well, I was about to tell a story here, but I'll tell it anyway. It doesn't make any difference. The Americans and the British, the Southern Americans at least, got along very well with the British. The Westerners, mid-states, didn't get along so well with them. And I think the same thing went more or less with the Chinese. I remember one time there in Shanghai, that was along about 25, 26 or so, 27, I don't know. But round the world tourists come in. Well, they pile off the boat, come into Shanghai and right into the hotels. And I've been to the Astor House. Old Astor House was about the best known hotel at the time. That was for the Metropole was built and the Cathay. It's new that the Sassoons were the people that made their fortune down in India, and as Britain was going to give the independence to India, they moved out and brought the money up to Shanghai and Hong Kong and invested it there. So they built some nice hotels. But getting back to the story about these Americans coming in, they come into the hotel. I sat down there in the lobby and watched them come in, hoping I might see somebody that I knew. And they come in, loud talking. I think most of them were Midwesterners, say in Nebraska and north of Oklahoma, really. Montana. And I reckon around Chicago, Illinois, Michigan. Next section. They come in there loud talking. We want a room. You know, just demanding about everything. It was great big diamonds. You ever saw such big diamonds in your life everywhere and all that. And showing all of this off. And knowing the Chinese like I knew them, I knew that they weren't asking for anything except they'd like to have as many tips and as big a tips as they could get. Yeah. But personally, they didn't like them.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much show off. And this dirty country out here is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This kind of attitude made the Chinese dislike them. I was getting back to the staying in the into the sandbag that were rainy, drizzly, sleety night, cold. And about 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, some relief came in. So I left, went by the American Club, and every room there was taken. I couldn't get in my own club. And people just laying all around on the floor and everywhere else. I really had no place to stay, and I wanted a good bed. So I said, I'll just go on over to Astor House where I had a room. So I started on across Suchow Creek, the bridge at Suchow Creek, and Britisher called me. Of course, he saw I was in uniform. He couldn't give me any orders at all. I'd like to give you some advice. If you don't have to go across that bridge, don't go across it. Because the Japanese are holed up over there in the building next across the street from the Astor House. He said, you better be careful if you go across that bridge. I said, well, I haven't got any place to stay. And I got a room at the hotel, so I think I'll just go to the hotel. And he says, well, if you do, put your rifle on your shoulder and march right at the center of the bridge where the light's on you and the Japanese can see you. I don't know what that Englishman was pulling my leg or not. But anyway, I had no other way getting across the bridge except walking across it. And I couldn't get the sandpan to go across in the Suchow Creek in the boat. So I threw a rifle upon my shoulder and went right in the middle of that bridge, and I walked on across it and got on the side and turned on into the Astor House. Went by the bar to the hotel, and I got me brandy about that deep in the glass. I dragged that down and went on in.
You mentioned before about Southern Americans. Did Southern Americans get along with the Chinese better than Northern and Middle?
I think so.
Really?
Yes, I do.
That's surprising to me. It really did, huh?
I think they did. I think, well, we here in the South have had more experience with poverty. And I think that experience allowed us to have more sympathy, mm-hmm. true, real mm-hmm. friendship and sympathy for the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And I think that we did not condemn the Chinese as much as the Northerners did. Mm-hmm. I think that we had more time for them.
Yeah. Were there a lot of Southerners over there when
in the tobacco business? Yes, mostly.
Mostly Southern tobacco.
Yes.
And how about missionaries?
Well,
every now and then, or a lot, or
I don't know.
Didn't have that much contact with them.
No, I tell you frankly, we business people and the missionaries didn't. Didn't get along.
How about the quality of American officials that you hit over there? Were they good officials? Because they're the ones who would, you know, if you broke the law, they're the ones who would try you, an American official.
In the consulate.
Were they good? Were they bad or what?
I think they were good. Mm-hmm. I think even just any little consulate, any consulate they had, I think they were all right. Of course, you can't expect a young fella, like some of them they had in the consulate, to be so completely wise. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, he's just a young man, but fine young man.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of all of the consulate members that I met. Yeah. Of course, in Shanghai, Cunningham was tops. He was consul general.
You mentioned before in an interview when you got in troubles with a magistrate. No, what was it? It was somebody stealing from your tobacco.
Oh, yes.
And they sent in the Marines and the destroyer.
Yeah,
you had all of a sudden, you had a whole lot of face among the Chinese.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was, we had out to tobacco re-drying plant mm-hmm. across the river there, Shanghai. What's the name of that river? It was on flows down there to the Yangtze County. I can't even think of that now. But we had, why? No, I don't know why, really. Well, Suchow Creek feeds into it, I don't know. we had our re-drying plant over in Putun, we called it, across the river. That is the name of the place over there. Across the river was Putun. British American Tobacco Company had its factory and go downs over there. We had our re-drying plant over there, and they broke into it and broke into one of the go downs over and stole tobacco from British American. And that's the reason I went to see Cunningham. Cunningham told me to go to see it. He said, Admiral just happened to be in town. There was this Admiral's boats here. So why don't you go and see him? I said, he's a sandpan, go see him. He's a sandpan, go and see him. So I know what he did. He called the Admiral and told him that I was on the way over there and I was going to ask for some help.
You got it. Is that a usual thing, like the Americans living in China figured that if they got into trouble, they could call on the Navy and the Marines and they would come and help them out?
Well, not up in the interior. You go to the consuls, but up in the interior, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Because the Chinese sued you. We had a treaty with them that they would have to sue an American citizen in an American consulate.
Right. Right.
And I don't know whether these consuls were lawyers or. Not, I think not. Some of them are too young, I think, to be lawyers. But anyway, they couldn't sue us.
Yeah.
They could do it. I did try to do it several times to me, I know.
Didn't work? Couldn't do it?
No.
First thing a Chinese would do coming into that consulate court is to try to give a bribe to the consul, right? I mean, that's the way the Chinese would work it at the Xi'an. Xi'an level with a magistrate, they try to bribe them one way or another. The Chinese try to bribe these American officials?
I think he's too smart for that, and too clever. You may try to find out what the official liked.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Give a lot of it, yeah.
And if you found that out, you'd probably tell him that. He can get him some, find out what he wanted and get it for him. Might some way like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in Chinese court there. It was getting away from that.
Toward the end?
Toward the end, yeah.
Did a Chinese, like, if a Chinese tried to, if you came into a consulate court, of a Chinese versus an American, let's say. Do the Chinese have a chance of getting a fair trial there and justice? I mean, like he's suing you for whatever and it's come before an American consul? I mean,
absolutely.
Pretty fair?
Absolutely, I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know that Chinese that we had made an agreement with. After I left China, our company didn't want to stay affiliated with this Chinese company.
Yeah.
So they took a lot of tobacco that I had bought and they had bought, re-dried, and sold it very quickly. And sold it too cheap.
Yeah.
And this Chinese company wanted our company over there to pay them more money than they had that they was entitled to.
Yeah.
And our manager out there, since we've already sold it, the contract calls for half and half, and he said, this Chinese said, well, we could have sold it for a whole lot more money than that. If you don't pay us some more money, we're gonna sue you. Well, we're gonna sue you in the American consul. Well, I know our company wasn't too happy over that, so they settled it up somewhere or another. I don't know the details.
I bet they did. Since Chinese courts couldn't touch you as a foreigner, and they couldn't punish you and they couldn't bring you in because you could only be handled by an American consul.
That's a treaty with them. But
right. Wouldn't that make a lot of Americans and British and Germans just wild? You know, they could care less about Chinese law, and I mean, the Chinese can't touch them, so wouldn't they lose their heads?
Well, the English, some of the English were, took a high hand. The Germans, and the Dutch, Germans in particular, took a high hand. Scotch took a high hand with them. But the Americans, they realized that if they got to push things too far away, maybe the Chinese would try to kill them.
Mm, yeah, you mentioned that before, if I remember. I mean, the Americans didn't really feel they could do anything, even though they... I mean, they just didn't feel they could do anything they wanted to do in China.
Well, the Americans that went out there was... I think the Chinese were rather careful in the type of person they selected to go out there. And the Americans, they didn't want to. They didn't want to take a high hand.
It was kind of nice that the British were there when you got to 1925 and, you know, the Chinese mobs were attacking farmers. It was nice that they were there with the troops and the guns and all, wasn't it?
Well, we had some troops and guns there too, I think. We had some Marines, I think.
Former Marine there.
Is that right?
Yeah.